to talk about things today that's going to help us. Amen? How many know the Word of God is there in place for us to pull from, to draw from, to bring us help, to bring us understanding in times that we're going through, things that we're dealing with? Amen? Amen? And sometimes, and you've heard me say it already, or let me say it like this, not sometimes, but right now, the season that we are in, God is taking us into a place to where we're moving from just hearing to seeing. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see some things. I want to see some stuff. Amen, I do. I want to say, I've heard them in my spirit, amen, in my mind's eye or my heart of hearts. But man, I want to see some things. Proverbs 20, verses 12 says this, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." Amen. God has created us to hear Him. Amen. To hear when He speaks to us and to recognize. He wants us to recognize when He speaks to us. Amen. And not only does He say, "I've given you a hearing ear, but I'm the one that gives you a seeing eye." Amen. So He moves a step further and takes us beyond just hearing that thing. I heard something. I heard something. God says, "Listen, I don't want you just to hear it anymore. I want you to begin to see it." Amen. Does that mean literal? Yes. Does that mean spiritual? Yes. Amen. Amen. We have to see those things, amen, that are not even before they're seen. Amen. That's faith. That's faith. So it's not just, you know, I don't want somebody to come back and say, "Well, I heard God say this, Pastor Barry, but you know, I ain't seen it yet." You know, we're talking about spiritual eyes. Amen. Abraham, when he was taking Isaac to offer him before the Lord as a sacrifice, when they came to the mountain was in a distance, a ways off there. And the Bible says this, it said, Abraham, he heard the Lord speak to him, "I want you to sacrifice your son." How many know he heard that? Okay, he heard Him speak that to him. And then when he came to the place and he got close there, the Bible says he saw it afar off. Amen? He hadn't gotten there yet, but he could already see. He knew where he was going to. It was a three-day journey, the Bible says, for him to get there. It's 3 days away. And I want to tell you that our hearing from the Lord to moving into seeing what God is speaking to us is a three-day journey. Amen? Amen. He's going to take us through death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. But we're going to see it afar off before we get there. How many can see some things that God has taken? I mean, I see things that God wants to do in this city. I see them. We stopped at Walmart today, you know, and it was packed out. Packed out. Walmart was packed out. And I was standing in line. I called Lady J on the phone. I said, "Honey, it's going to be a while. I'm in the checkout line. Half of Selmer is in Walmart." And she said, "That's okay." Got in there and she said, I told you there's a lot of people in here." She saw the cars and everything. And what did you say? I can't remember. You said something about, you know, being Pastor Barry Bishop or something in there. She alluded to. And I said, "Well," I said, "you know, while I was standing there, I was looking at all these people and I thought, all these people need to be in our church." Amen. Why? Because I've seen some things. Amen. I move beyond just hearing them, but I am beginning to see those things. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand." That shall stand. Amen. "Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." I mean, no, God speaks things to us. He brings us wise counsel. He wants us to hear the counsel, receive the instruction. Because there are many devices in a man's heart. Amen. I got some things I could do, I think, would help God out, Brother Sean. There's some devices inside of me, amen? There are many devices in a man's heart. "Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." I mean, you know, some of the things in my heart might not necessarily line up with what God's wanting me to do at a particular moment or season in my life, amen? But the counsel of the Lord, that's the thing that's going to stand with me, amen? And God will begin to speak to us so we can hear things from His mouth that will cause us to be stable, strengthened, established, amen, people and men and women of God that walk in integrity. And a lot of times, the things we go through are nothing more than just training steps. Amen. For us to begin to see what we've already heard. And sometimes when you're going through stuff, how many know you gotta come to a place to where you learn how to command the morning? Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you today about commanding the morning, moving from hearing to seeing. Job 38, verse 12 says this: Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place? The New Living Translation says it like this: Have you ever commanded the morning to appear, and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Now, in context, the Lord is speaking to Job here in this passage of Scripture. God is speaking to him. He is proclaiming to Job his sovereignty, who he is. You know, can you command the morning? Is what he's saying. Have you told the day star, the day spring, where to rise and find its place in the east? Can you know? And he goes through this whole scenario of proclaiming to Job his sovereignty and who he is. And then at the end of that thing, Job just, you know, basically acknowledged, God, I know all things are from you, you know, and you're in control of everything, every part of my life. And because he heard well, the Lord blessed Job back doubly more than what he had lost, amen, in his family and his riches and all those sort of things. I'm telling you this, when we understand that the power that's within us, it flows from a wellspring called Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's the reason everything happens. It's not by the work of my own hand. Say not that you've gotten this wealth by the power of your own help, but it's the Lord of thy God that gives thee the power to get wealth, is what he told them. Don't you tell people, look what I've done by my own hand. But understand, it's the Lord thy God that gives you the power to give wealth. And Job had an understanding of this. And because he had an understanding to this, and when you read the book of Job, I love it, man, because, man, he begins to reflect back. He says, oh, if I was in the days of my youth, is what Job said, when the princes and those of authority would come and listen to me speak, amen, when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Job was an anointed man of God. Dignitaries would come, and it says the young men would come, and when Job would begin to speak, it said they would cover their mouth. In other words, they were, because of the wisdom and the anointing that would flow out of this man. Because how many know, God said, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him in the earth. Amen? And how many know God's no respecter of person? Amen. He said the same thing about David Wilkins. Have you considered my servant David Wilkins? There's nobody like him in the earth. Do what you want to, but he ain't going to turn his back on me. God had put his trust, not only his favor, but his trust in this man called Job. And Job was a man who began to speak. And man, he had learned how to wash his steps with butter. How many know butter is just a type of milk that's been churned and became a coagulant substance, a semi-solid mass, is something that can be molded. And Job said, my steps have become moldable in the eyes of the Lord. He is ordering my steps. He's molding me. My steps are washed with butter. I've taken the milk of the word, but you know that milk has become solid food in me now. Now I become moldable in his sight, and he directs my path. And because I am allowing him to direct my path, now the rock who is Christ pours me out rivers, I love that, of fresh oil, anointing and power and things that, and giftings and talents. Those things are flowing out of me. Why? Because I have come into step with God and allowing him to mold and make me. And I believe this, that even though God was declaring to Job about his sovereignty, Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, we have come into a time to where now God is giving us the authority and the power to where we can command our morning. Amen. There's a new covenant that's come on the scene. Amen. It ain't all about God doing things, but now he's expecting the people of God, the sons of God, to take their place and begin to command their mornings. Amen. And how many know when you're going through stuff and junk and situations and everybody's mad at you and mama's talking about you and friends are leaving you and they're saying you're crazy or whatever, you know, and they begin to bicker about you and murmur and complain about you. How many know when you're going through those things, you got to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord, like King David did. And you got to learn how to begin to command the mornings and bring those things into change. You see, the morning is the time when the sun rises and it begins, somebody say, a new day. Amen. When the sun morning is when the sun rises and it begins a new day, and God has brought us into a new day. He's bringing a word of life into this region that's going to cause the dawning of a new day to take place, and He's doing it through me and you and everybody that has the sound of this house. Hey! Morning is when the sun rises. When Christ begins to be illuminated in His people and it begins a new day, there's newness that can be brought out of you. You don't have to be the same way you've always been. And that's the word we begin to speak to people in this place. Why? Because the sun is rising in us. Amen. And we begin to command the morning and say, it's a new day. But see, the morning is also the time or season when you wake up. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Morning is when you wake up, and God is trying to get us to understand it. And you know what? Quit depending on me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Quit depending on me to do everything. Because I've done everything. I've finished the work. Now I'm looking at you and say, go, and you do. Amen. By the power and the authority that I've given you, this is the new covenant. There's been a transference of power unto the people of God. And now the morning time is just a season when you and I have to wake up. Oh, my God, I got to wake up into who I am, into this new day. There is a place for the day spring to dwell in. Amen. The dawning of the new day will always rise in the east. The day spring will always rise where the order of God begins. Amen. The east. I've told you guys this before, that the east is where Eden was built. It was a place of order that God built in the midst of chaos, in a chaotic world that was in total uproar and upheaval. And he built in the east a place called Eden, and he brought his order to that place. Order will always flow from the east of God, and the dawning of the new day will always rise in the east. How many know the sun comes up in the east? Amen. And it's just a picture for you and I to understand that God, if we're going to allow the light of God's word to be illuminated in our life, how many know we got to understand it's going to rise from the east, a place of order coming into our life, and we stepping into the order of God and the way He does things. The day spring will rise where the order of God begins. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. Listen to what the Amplified says. And we have the prophetic word made firmer still. You will do well to pay close attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place until the day breaks through the gloom and the morning star rises or comes into being. Where? In your hearts. How many know God told Job, He said, has thou commanded the morning? Have you caused the day spring to know His place? How many know where the day spring, the place of the day spring is? Peter just told us. It's in the hearts of the people of God. Amen. There is a prophetic word that each of us has that ensures us of the light at the end of the tunnel. Let me say that again. There is a prophetic word for each one of us that has ensured us of this very fact that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. What are you saying? When I'm going through something and I feel like all things are closing in around me, we got to understand there's a prophetic word that's over my life. There's a prophetic word that's over your life. And that prophetic word ensures you of the fact, you know what? You might be going through something right now, some dark times and some hard situations, but I want to assure you of something. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. Focus on the light, you know, kind of like the old movies there. What was that? A Bug's Life. Y'all remember that movie, The Bug's Life? And they had the little bug zapper up there. And the guy was like, don't look at the light. Don't look at that. He said, I can't stop. There is a light. Amen. That God wants us to focus on. I may know it's the light of the new day. It's the light of illumination and revelation and understanding that there is a prophetic word over my life that gives me hope in a hopeless situation. Come on, somebody. The place of the day star is in the hearts of His people, the place of Him coming into our being. That's the place. God said, I've commanded the day spring a place to dwell, and it's going to be in the hearts of my people. I like that. Revelation 22, verse 16 says this, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger or angel to you to witness and to give you assurance of these things for the churches or assemblies. I am the root, the source. Amen. And the offspring of David, the radiant and brilliant morning star. Christ is the day spring. He's the day star. Amen. I love this. I am the root, the source. God is your source. Jesus is your source of everything. and the offspring of David. Amen. He's the one that's going to, he's the source of your praise. Radiant and brilliant morning star. That's the Holy Spirit, verse 17, and the bride, the church, the true Christians, say, come. And let him who is listening now say, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. I got to say that again. Let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. Free gift. Amen. Where do we get that from? The day spring that's found his place in my heart. Come on, you ought to slap yourself in the chest and say, he's living right here. He's living right here. Matthew 11, 16 says this, but whereunto shall we liken this generation? It's likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we've piped unto you and you've not danced. We've mourned and you not lamented. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. What am I saying? I am saying we got to understand that there's been a transference of power to you and I. There is a place for the day star and the day spring, the morning star. It's in the hearts of his people, man. Why? Because he wants us to understand that we have the power to command our mornings. Yeah, when I'm going through hell on earth, amen, I can speak to my situation and make things better. Amen. I'm not just hearing that God says I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed when I leave, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the basket. Amen. But now I am beginning to see that I really am blessed when I'm in and blessed when I'm out, Brother Sean, and blessed in the field and blessed in the basket. I'm not just hearing that, but I am seeing myself walking. And so I begin to command my morning by saying those things. I confess the lordship of Jesus Christ over the day. Oh, I command it to come under his authority. I command my morning. Amen. Why? Because there's a transference of power. The scripture in Matthew that I just read is talking about children piping in the market. The market is the gathering place for business to be done. It's a place of, hear this, transactions, transfers, and exchange to take place. Also means the place where things are built or erected. Like what? Like relationships, community, lives. Amen. It's the marketplace, and God is bringing us to the marketplace so he can make a transaction with you and I. Amen? That he can begin to build and erect things in us, relationships, community. He's called us to this community to build it a different way. Amen? The church here, the church has been liking unto children in the marketplace. That's what it says in this parable we just read. They're playing and singing their same old song and dance routine, with no results of anyone buying or purchasing their goods. Hear that. The church, for generations, have been doing the same old song and dance routine. Amen. And ain't nothing happening in that situation. Nobody's buying their goods anymore. Why? Because they see so much corrupt things. How many has ever heard this statement? Well, I know that brother over there, he goes to such and such church, and he drinks, and he does this, and blah, and they can start telling you, you know, all the things that's going wrong. I'm not trying to justify themselves. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying they've seen these things happening. And in the news, you see great ministers who fall because they get into adulterous situations and different things like that. And it's tainted the taste of the church in people's lives to where they don't want to see that stuff because they're already living that type of life. And why do I want to go to church when all the, you know, the pastor, all he talks about is he's wanting my money. Or y'all know what I'm saying. It's always about that. It's always about that. And they keep hearing the same song and dance routine. They keep seeing the same things, and nobody's changed it. How many know the world, the people in the marketplace, man, they are looking for something that is real and relevant to their situation. We talked to a brother yesterday that we met before, Brother Don Worth, and he'd gone through some situations in his life and everything, but he was learning. He had learned how to command his morning. Amen. He'd been through some hell and everything, but you know what? He was still on top, and he was talking about some things. He's an evangelist, and he loves going and sharing the love of Christ with people, and he goes into situations and circumstances where most church folks would say, I can't believe you went there and did that. You know what I'm saying? But how many know God has called us to come into the marketplace and bring a message. You know, most people that come to church, most time they saved. Okay? And so if we can continue to preach a salvation message to people that's already saved, how many know we ain't going to accomplish much? But we've got to take the message beyond the walls and into the marketplace. Amen. Why? Because that's the place where some transactions are going to take. And people are going to be understand that there's an exchange that's been made 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary through the finished work of the apostle of our confession and faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That now they can walk in newness and wholeness of life to where they were living in a hopeless situation. God has called us to begin to command things like that. Mature sons of God, they understand that the marketplace is where those transactions of truth and power is done. It's the place where exchange of old mentalities and mindsets need to occur. It's the place where transformation happens so things that need to be built and erected can be established in the lives of a community of people. Proverbs 23:23 says this, you got to buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. There has been a transaction made or a transference of power, might, and dominion has been given to those who will just simply believe that God's called them to greatness. Amen. I'm talking about the people of God. The Father's moving us from a place of just hearing what He's spoken to the place of seeing what He has spoken. Amen. We'll never accomplish what God's accomplished us to do at Life Wind Church. We'll never resonate the sound of the house into this community until we first buy into the fact that this is really what God wants to do. This is the truth of His Word, and we buy that truth and we sell it not. Brother Sean, we'll never see community change and culture change in this place. You think it's going to be easy? It ain't going to be easy. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to be easy. There's going to be some battles that has to be won. Amen? But I'm telling you, if we'll let the sound of the house resonate in us, that sound is going to precede a manifestation of what God is showing us. But we got to get it in here first. Amen? You will never convince anybody that Christ is the answer for their lives until you know that Christ is the answer for your life. Let that soak in a little bit. You cannot convince people of having Christ, the hope of glory, operating and dwelling in their being until you're convinced that He's operating and dwelling in your being first. Amen. You can't do it. I'm convinced that Jesus can change people's lives. Why? Because I know He's changed mine. Amen. I've bought that truth and I'm selling it not. We can see what He has promised. Then we can begin to command the mornings of our situation, church. We can hear this. We can change our lives by changing the way we see things. You can. I'm telling you, there's power. Power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. We can change our lives by changing the way we see things. Lady J and I are reading a book right now. It's called 2020 Vision, and that's one of the quotes that he says at the end of every affirmation in that devotional. You can change your life by changing the way you see things. If you're always focusing on the negative part, guess what? You're going to have negative life. But if you'll begin to focus on the positive things, I'm not saying negative things are not happening. I'm not saying they're not real. They're not going on. But we got to learn how to look away from that negative and focus on the positive. I know things are bad right now, but you know what that means to me? That means to me that God's got something better in mind. I'm going to focus on that. Amen? I'm going to change the way I see things around me. Why? Because I want my life to change. If we are going to command our morning, we must do these three things. And there might be other things that we can do, but I've got three here that I want you to hear because I believe this will help you. When you're going through some stuff, when everything don't seem like going your way, you got to learn how to command your morning. You got to learn how to speak into that situation the right way. Why? Because you have the power to turn that thing if you'll speak the right way to it. If we're going to command our morning, we must, number one, recognize the truth of situations and not the facts of situations. Recognize the truth of situations, not the facts. The truth of your situation is what the Word of God has said concerning it. That's the truth of your situation. Amen. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I know right now my bank account is zero. But see, the truth of God's Word says, because I'm giving to Him, come on somebody, I understand there's conditions in that, because I'm a giver and I'm a tither and I'm giving to God what belongs to him, come on somebody, then I'm going to be blessed in the field. That's what his word says. That's the truth of my situation. I know right now it looks like I'm driving an old raggedy car or whatever. I'm trying to, you know, but the truth of God's word says I'm blessed. So I've got to focus on that and begin to command my morning. God, I'm lining up my day with what your word says about me. Facts can be obstacles. Facts about situations. It's a fact. I ain't got no money right now, okay? But see, that can be an obstacle that's going to block and hinder me from reaching the target that I'm aiming for. Fear will cause us to focus on the past, mistakes, and failures. Might be facts, but fear causes us to focus on those things. Past. Well, you don't know what kind of life I've had, Pastor Barry. You don't know what I messed up on today. You know, I tried that one time and I didn't do it. I failed. You know, and those may be facts, but see, fear causes us to focus on those things. But truth says, hear this, truth says this, my past is dim, but my future is brighter. Truth says my mistakes have made me better. And though I may have failed, hear this, I'm not a failure. And you got to focus on those things and recognize, come on, the truth of situations and not the facts. Michelangelo said this, I love this. The greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. I mean, no, you got to set high goals. Amen. If you want to become better, if you want to be a success, if we want to do what God has called us to do in this city, you know, we got to aim high. Amen. We don't need to have little bitty narrow-minded faith, but we need to have enlarged faith. I mean, we need to think outside the box. You know, we were in that church in Jackson with Pastor Eric and Inspiring Institute, you know, and I was talking to him after the service yesterday, and we were talking about that building. That building is awesome. You guys been there, and it's an awesome facility and everything, and they built that thing back in 1993, okay? And I told Pastor Eric, you know, I said, these guys are incredible. But I'm telling you, man, they were thinking outside the box when they built that building. And it was amazing to me, to somebody to have that type of insight. And that's what we got to be if we're going to change this community. Man, we got to think outside the box. We can't think along the normal lines of our religious upbringing and our, amen, the way we've been taught doctrinally or whatever. Man, but we got to think outside the box and get beyond that and just do what the word of the Lord tells us to do and do it in faith. Amen. We need to aim high. Amen. And if we aim high, I'm telling you, God's going to cause us to hit the target. But if we just aim low, we'll probably reach it. I don't want to have low goals. I want to have high goals. Isaiah 55 and 10 says this, "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but waters the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless." Oh, I love that. "But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." Amen? It's the truth. That's the truth concerning our situation. Amen? We recognize the truth of our situation and not the fact. And the truth of our situation is this, that God's word that goes out of his mouth over us will not return to him void. In other words, it's not going to go without producing any effect. It's not going to be useless. I like that. "But it shall accomplish that which he pleased and purposed it, and it shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it." Number two, if we're going to command our morning, we must do this. We must cooperate with purpose and destiny. You got to cooperate with the purpose of God and the destiny of God of your life. Destiny is what you were created and placed on this earth for. Purpose is the steps taken on the journey to your destiny. We don't like the purpose part. We want to get to the destiny. I want to get to the destination without... A lot of people don't like to fly on airplanes. And a lot of people that don't like to fly on airplanes ain't never tried to fly on an airplane. They're like, "I ain't flying. Why? I ain't flying on that. I'm scared of flying." How you know? They've never even tried. So, if I got to get on a plane to get to my destination, forget it. I'm not going that purpose. And how many know we're like that a lot of times with where God is taking us? We don't want to go through the steps and the process of purpose to get us there. You know, why I got to go through this obstacle, and why I got to go over, why I got to be victorious in this battle. Why can't I just skip this part? We have to cooperate with purpose and destiny. Destiny is what you were created and placed on the earth for, on the planet for, but purpose is the steps taken on the journey to your destiny. You will eventually, hear this, you will eventually arrive at what you are continually aiming for. You must always keep an end to a thing in your mind's eyesight. I'm telling you, I do this. Concerning the things that we're dealing with, and selling our home and moving down here in the church and people coming to the church and getting out in the community and beginning to make an impact on this city and everything, dealing with all those types of things and scenarios in my mind. And when I look and I come to church and I don't see nobody here, or you see somebody leave, or you know what I'm saying? If I focus on those things, I mean, no, I'm probably not going to reach my goal, and I'm probably going to throw up my hands, and I'm probably just going to give up. Amen. But if I understand I got to keep an end to a thing in my mind, God said we're going to touch the nations from right here. I ain't talking about just saying some words and doing it, you know, in faith. But I'm talking about literally, literally other people from other nations coming right here because of what God's doing, and we're going to impact their lives. And so I have to remember that and keep that end of that thing in my mind's eye, even though when I ain't seeing it yet with my natural eye. Amen. And you got to do the same thing in your life. Your situation might be bad right now, but you got to understand what's the end of the thing. What's God said about your life? What's God? Has He called you to be successful, or has He called you to be a failure? I believe everybody in this room, God has best in mind for you. And I believe everybody in this room, God has called you to have a successful, prosperous life. That's His plan. That's His will. That's His purpose for you. That's your destiny. Amen. And we have to keep the end of that thing in our mind when it don't look like it's going that way right now, Pastor Barry. We got to keep an end to a thing in our mind's eyesight. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." Say this with me. I will not be defeated in my dilemma, for my destiny is greater than my dilemma. Amen. You got to keep an end of a thing in your mind's eyesight. Why? Because I'm not going to be defeated in the dilemma I go through, Brother David. Why? Because my destiny is greater than my dilemma I'm going through right now. Amen. My future is brighter on the other side. I know I'm going through some stuff right now, and it's all around me, man, and I'm having all kind of obstacles in my way. Amen. But I know it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. That guy wrote that song, didn't he? He was singing a prophetic song, didn't he? We got to keep the end of a thing in our mind's eyesight. And number three, and the final thing, if we're going to command our morning, we must keep moving forward, because you know there's something greater ahead. Listen to this. Your aspirations serve to move you forward and onward. The things that you aspire to do in the kingdom. Tammy, she wanted to get a diploma. Okay? She had to do the GED and all that, and she wanted to get her schooling and all that, and she wanted to get her GED and everything. That's how, if I'm not mistaken, that's how y'all met, ain't it? Lady J was teaching that class here in Selmer, and that's how she met Tammy there. So she aspired to get her GED. Amen? And it, maybe in the natural eye, took her a long time. But how many know at the end of that thing, and you can testify to this, at the end of that thing, there was some rejoicing going on. There was a party thrown when that girl got her GED. Yeah, why? Her aspirations served to keep her moving forward and onward. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up, no matter how many times I got to take the test. I'm not quitting. I'm moving forward because I am aspiring. I'm going to get this thing. And we got to have that type of tenacity about what God's called the house to do. Amen. Life Wing Covenant Church. We're going to get that thing. We're going to reach that place. We're going to get those folks. Amen. We're going to change this city. We're going to change this culture. Your aspirations serve to move you forward and onward. Listen to this. Where there is no movement, there is no life. Every day we should be moving toward our desired target. Every day we should seize an opportunity for advancement and improvement. I'm going to tell you something. I want to lose some weight. I've been wanting to lose weight all my life, because all my life I've been on the heavy side, okay? And all my life I've been wanting to lose some weight. And here, about almost 2 years ago, when we started the church, I weighed 293 pounds. And when I got there, I thought, 7 more pounds, and I'll be 300 pounds. Oh, my God, it just blew my mind. I've had a conversation with the Lord. Actually, I've had an argument with the Lord before. I'm like, God, I wouldn't be so heavy if you didn't make food taste so good. And if you didn't give me no taste buds, you know, why you give me taste buds, God? I don't need taste buds. Food just serves as an energy source for us. We ain't got to taste it. Why'd you give us taste buds for? I mean, that's why I like to eat, because I like stuff that tastes good. I do, and it ain't much I don't like. Somebody say, we having such and such for supper. You like it? I'm like, I like it. And some people say, what do you want for dinner? And I just say, I like it. They don't even have to give a menu. Breakfast time, I'm already thinking about planning what I'm going to have for lunch. And all these skinny folk walking around, I didn't even eat today. I forgot to eat, and I'm thinking, breakfast time, I'm already thinking about supper. What are we going to have for supper? But anyway, I'm saying this is what I want to lose weight. And back when I got to that 293 pounds, I said, I got to do something. And I started speaking this to myself. When I get dressed and look in the mirror, y'all won't never see this, okay? And I ain't got my shirt on. I'm sitting there looking, I'm turning sideways, and I'm doing before, after. I start telling myself, you're losing weight. You're losing weight. You're making healthier choices. And I've tried to consciously, and how many know I've fell off the wagon a bunch of times. But I keep getting on the thing. I keep getting back in the saddle, amen. Why? Because my aspirations, they serve to move me forward and onward. And I'm down to 247 pounds now. Amen. I testify to that, you know, that man, I'm down to 247, and I just got 47 more pounds to go. But really, my goal right now is, you know, 10 more pounds, you know, and then it'll be another goal, and another goal until I reach my destination. But I look at myself, I'm still telling myself, you're losing weight, you're going to reach your goal, and I begin to speak to myself. Amen. I begin to speak every day we should move forward or toward, we should be moving toward, rather, our desired target. Every day we should seize an opportunity for advancement and improvement. And I mean, I just want to improve, because if I lose some weight, not only am I going to get clothes that fit me better, but I'm going to have a better quality of life because of it. Improvement. There's improvement in every day, church. We got to keep moving forward, because there's something greater ahead. We know there's something greater ahead. Your goals, hear this, your goals should be stamped and engraved in your spirit to serve you as a compass and a roadmap for your journey, to show you the direction. Seeing things accomplished in our life should become a habit that we begin to develop for our life. Amen? I like that. We should not get into the habit of always saying, well, I ain't never going to do nothing because I ain't never going to mount nothing. I always fail. I don't want to develop that habit. I want to develop a habit of accomplishing things. Amen. I want to do what I say I'm going to do. Amen. How many know that's integrity? That's what God's called us to be. You know, and a man's word should be his word. Amen. A man's word should be, you know, something that you can stand on. Amen. It should be that. And the reason a man's word is not that now is because people don't do what they say they're going to do. Amen. You know, they'll say it and it'll pop off a lot of babble to you. You know, Lady J will tell you this. I've had, and she has too, we both have. We've had people tell us stuff over the years. I'm talking about people, Christian people, okay? Ministry people tell us, you know, I see something in you, you guys are so gifted in music and everything, man. And when you get ready to do a CD, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you money, and I'm going to do this. And right now, when people come up to me and tell me, you know what, God has connected us. And I'm telling you, God has connected us. I feel that God has brought us into covenant with one another. I tell them right there, I said, don't tell me you're in covenant with me unless you mean it. Unless you understand what you're saying. Because covenant is this. I believe covenant is this. Covenant is where you are willing to lose your life in somebody else. That's true covenant. That's true covenant. And there's so many people around the world in the church world right now popping off, you know, it's just a byword, covenant. It's just a popular word. Kingdom and covenant is a popular word right now. I want to be known for accomplishing things. And I want to be known for keeping my word. And God has called this house to be that type of light in this place. Don't nobody need to be speaking about life when all them folks, they say all kind of crazy stuff. They don't ever do nothing what they say they're going to do. I'm talking about people in the house, too. You realize what you do outside of this house and this structure, it affects this house. Amen. That's the truth. We need to understand that what we do outside these walls is a reflection on this house. Amen. You might get out here and you act a fool or whatever, you know, in the city. And I know me and Lady J, we ain't gonna act no fool, okay? But because you out there acting a fool, it's gonna be a reflection on us, and they're gonna think that's what goes on here. And even though we know we're not, amen, but still, the things we do are powerful, church. The lives we live, the things we speak in public, they are powerful outside of these walls, amen. So seeing things accomplished in our lives should become a habit that we begin to develop. And we need to develop a habit in this house that we are people of integrity. We are people of stability. We're not fruits, flakes, and nuts. We're not crazy. We're not people that walk in foolishness. Amen. But we are people who are real, that have a real experience, who serve a real living Savior that they need to come into contact with. Amen. Philippians 3, verse 13, says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Philippians 4:8 says this, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. I like the last part of the Amplified. Fix your mind on them. Jeremiah 1, 5 through 10 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. Before you were born, I separated you and set you apart, consecrating you and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Amen. I want to go back. Philippians there, chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize. I got a prophetic word I want to give you guys right now. I believe if we will keep our motives pure, our hearts pure, and the things that God has called us to be, and aiming toward the prize. Come here, Sean. Stand up. You ever shot a bow? Get in your bow stance like you finna kill a 13-point. When we stretch back, how many know he's got the bow, he's got the arrow drawn back, and in his heart of hearts, he's fixing to kill a deer. Amen? And he lets the arrow go, and I see it, and pfft, miss me. Okay? How many know in his heart, get in his stance again, how many know in his heart of hearts, he wouldn't plan on missing? I'm finna hit him right in the shoulder, right in the heart, going to be a kill shot right now. You know, but every one of us, Paul says, I press toward the prize. In other words, I've set my aim on hitting the target. In my heart, I don't want to miss it. How many here don't want to miss what God has for you? Come on, how many don't want to miss the life that God has prepared for you? I don't want to miss it. And I've got my aim on the bullseye of the target. And man, I want to hit that thing. And so, how many know sometimes when I let my arrow go, sometimes I miss the mark? Anybody ever missed the mark besides me? Amen. Amen. But Paul said, you know, even though I'm aiming at the target, I'm pressing toward the prize, and I've missed the mark a few times, I still keep on pressing. I still keep aiming because my heart of hearts, I want to hit the target. And I believe this, if your heart is like that, if you want to hit the target of the plan of God for your life, if you want to hit the bullseye, if you want to take proper aim, I believe this, God in this year is going to start giving you avenues of access. Amen. To the things that He has prepared for you. There are avenues of access that God is about to open up to the people of God. Amen. That have a heart to hit the target. Amen. He's also going to give us intelligent inspiration. This is an acronym, AIM. A-I-M. Avenues of access. He's going to give us intelligent inspiration. How many know we need inspiration from God to do the things that He's called us to do? Man, I need God to drop something into my spirit, but it don't need to be no ludicrous, crazy, flaky stuff. I want some intelligent inspiration. I mean, God could drop into our spirit, amen, the answer to cancer. Amen? You know what I'm saying? An intelligent inspiration that comes through. And I believe in this coming year, because of the people that have their aim on the target, they don't want to miss the mark. God's going to give them avenues of access. He's going to give them intelligent inspiration. And then he's going to cause them to begin to move into multiplication. He's going to give movement to multiplication. He's going to multiply the things, amen, to where it used to be, you know, I'm just making $2 a week now. Now it's going to be multiplied, amen. It's going to be $4 a week, amen, or $20. It's going to be 10 times that amount, but there's going to be multiplication that takes place. Why? Because my heart is to hit the target and take aim, avenues of access, intelligent inspiration, and movement to multiplication. How many want to move the things that you do, the moving of the Spirit, and moving with the flow of God? How many want those things to be magnified and multiply? Amen. When we begin to sing song, you know, that song we sang, you know, man, that was a spontaneous, prophetic release from the power of God. It was an intelligent inspiration. Amen. It was a birth out of an avenue of access that He gave us. Amen. And that thing will cause us to move into multiplication. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Why? Because our motives is to do what God has called us to do and do it right. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Amen. I don't want to do wrong. You know, it ain't in my heart to do wrong. And that right there is a sign to me that, you guess what? You ain't going to do wrong. Why? Because it ain't in your heart to do wrong. And if it's in your heart to do wrong, you'll probably do some wrong. But if it ain't in your heart to do wrong, guess what? God is not going to allow you to do wrong. Will I make mistakes? Probably. Will I miss the target sometime? Probably. But it ain't because you purpose in your heart to miss the target. Amen? Aim. Take aim. Avenues of access, intelligent inspiration, and movement to multiplication. God is doing this. Then said I, verse 6 of Jeremiah 1, Ah, Lord God, behold, I can't even talk because I'm just a youth. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I'm only a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I shall send you. Somebody needs to receive this word today. You shall go to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand, and He touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Amen. I believe that's a word of the Lord for us today. Amen. That scripture right there in Jeremiah. Before He formed us, He knew us, and He approved of us. Amen. You've been strategically placed and planted in the geographical location that you're living. Amen. The church that you go to, amen, has been planned before the foundations of the earth by Almighty God for your life, and you have been strategically, you might think you just kind of tripped up on it. You know, oh, look at here what we found. You know, and you ain't found nothing. That place been looking for you. You was the one lost. Amen. But we have been strategically placed by the Lord. Amen. Before we were in our mother's womb, He chose us to be instruments in this place. He separated us and set us apart. He consecrated us. He anointed and He appointed us to be a prophet to the nations. Oh, we got some more blips on the map on our website. We got some up in Washington, is that right? California, around New York, or was it Pennsylvania, you thought? Pennsylvania. We are already, come on somebody, we are already touching people in this nation that we ain't never seen before. And I know that was the word of the Lord before I even knew we could have a map on there that could show you people hitting your website. I didn't know you could do that. But God had already spoken that. And man, you know what that does to me? That causes me to keep on pressing, to keep on moving forward. Amen. It makes me always keep an end of a thing in my mind when I see that. Why? Because I know what God has spoken. You're going to touch the nations of the earth. We got a dot over in Germany. I mean, oh, that's another nation. You know, we've had Brother Apostle Muhammad come here from Trinidad. And he prophesied to us, you know, he didn't even know what that word over us. And he prophesied a word, you're going to touch other nations. Other nations are going to come here, he said. And he said, guess what? I'm from another nation. I'm from Trinidad. I'm the first one. So when I see those things, man, it causes me to keep an end to a thing in my mind's eye. I know for a fact, can't nobody take it away from me, that I'm going to keep moving forward because I know that there's something greater ahead. What we see right now, it's good. I'm going to tell you right now, it's good. You know, the worship we have in this house, I think there's none better. And that ain't just because we do it, okay? He's saying it like that. I don't mean it like that, so don't take it like that. But I'm saying we have tremendous praise and worship encounters in this house already. We have a word of life, amen, that can't nobody else preach like we can. It's already coming out of this house. It's here right now. But I'm going to tell you something. There's greater things ahead, and we got to press toward that. Why? Because the Lord has put forth His hand, and He's touched our mouths, and He's put His words in our mouth. And He said, this day have I appointed you the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms to root out. To root out what? Racism. Amen. To pull down poverty men's mindsets. To destroy and overthrow, amen, the mindset of this city is just going to be a little bitty town and ain't nothing ain't going to be here, you know, and ain't nobody going to really grow. It ain't going to be no industry. We're pulling down those mindsets. We're turning those things. Why? Because God has appointed us the oversight of this place. Proverbs 23 and 23, and go ahead and stand. How many know that's the truth? What I just said, what God's called us to do, pull down mindsets and strongholds in this city about racism, poverty. Spirit of failure. We're pulling down those things. We're changing a culture and a mindset. We're bringing forth the government of God. I mean, no, that's a true statement. That's true what God's called us to be as watchmen of the city. We got to do what Proverbs 23 and 23 says. We got to buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why? Because there's been a transaction made. A transference of power, might, and dominion has been given to us because we believe that. And God is moving us from a place of just hearing what He's spoken to a place of seeing what He's spoken. Amen. We can see. When we can see what He has promised, then we can begin to command the mornings of our situation. Church, when you begin to see yourself as being the head and not the tail, you can start commanding your morning. Amen. When you begin to see yourself as blessed and not cursed, you can command your morning. Amen. When you can see yourself healed and not sick, you can command your morning. Amen. When you can see yourself prosperous and not in poverty, you can command your morning. When you can see yourself living in a better house or having a larger quality of life versus where you're living right now, you can command your morning. Why? Because the day spring has found its place in your heart. Amen. And it's causing things to rise from the east, the place of order. And that order is resting in your heart of hearts and bringing you in line to where you wash your steps with butter. And the river of God, the rock of God, will begin to pour you out rivers of fresh, living, tasty oil. Amen. Children of Israel, when they ate the manna, the Bible says it tasted like fresh oil in their mouth. How many want some fresh oil in your mouth? Amen. To begin to speak with the anointing, speak with the power of God. We can change our lives by changing the way we see things. We got to command the morning. I've got something I want to give you guys today that's going to help you command your morning. I have one of these at my desk at work, and every morning I read this thing to myself out loud where I can hear it. Why? Because I want to command my morning. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Me and Lady J, if everybody in this house walks away, we're going to do what God said LifeWind is going to do. If it's just me and her knocking on every door in the street, I don't care. Why? Because I've learned how to command my morning. I know what God said. Job 38:12, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? I confess the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus over this day and command it to come under his authority because it is the day that he has made. I say that I will walk in joy and gladness today, not in sorrow or depression. I will walk in light and revelation, not in darkness and deception. I will walk in health and wholeness and not in sickness or disease. I will walk in prosperity and abundance, not in poverty or lack, in liberty and in the spirit, not in bondage or in the flesh. I will walk in wisdom and knowledge, not in ignorance and the destruction that it causes. I will walk in success, not in failure, in victory, not in defeat, in power, not in weakness, in favor, not in rejection. Today I will walk in the God kind of life and not in the law of sin and death. I declare the end from the beginning that this is a great, productive, blessed, and enjoyable day. I believe in my heart that what I say with my mouth will come to pass concerning the day's outcome. It is a good day because God is a good God. In the name of the apostle and high priest of my confession, Jesus Christ." And I'm telling you, I say this every morning. When I go to work, I got a pinned up on my neck, and I look at that thing because when I'm having a bad day, I'm like, I confess the Lord Jesus over this day. And I'm commanding it to come under his authority. Please put those somewhere where you can read them. Use those. Begin to command your morning. Begin to speak these things over you. Begin to look in the mirror and say, you know what, Barry, you losing some weight, son. Done took your belt up another notch. Oh, yeah. Lady J is hugging all over you a little bit more now that she wasn't doing it before, but she's doing a little bit more because she can reach around you a little further now. Hallelujah. Oh, why? Because this is a good day, because this is the day God's made. How many going to command your morning? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap if you receive it today.